Hey everyone, and welcome. I hope you're doing well today. Great to speak to you again, or maybe you're joining us for the first time. Well, if so, thank you for tuning in. My name is Henrik, and this is Red Ice Radio from Sweden. We continue to investigate and question all the different topics that we are interested in. For the past 11 years, Sterling Allen has been running the exotic Free Energy Technology News Directory, PES, Pure Energy Systems. He is the main driving force behind PESWiki.com and FreeEnergyNews.com, whose mission it is to find and facilitate the best exotic free energy technologies. In May 2012, Sterling founded the New Energy Systems Trust to help to bring these technologies to market. PES is aided by the New Energy Congress, which Sterling founded in 2005 as an association of energy professionals from around the world who review the most promising claims to existing and up-and-coming breakthrough energy technologies that are clean, renewable, affordable, reliable, easy to implement, safe, and of course, legitimate. So today we are going to review the last year in terms of free energy and see what has changed on the continuous top five or so countdown list of interesting and promising devices and technologies that might be closest to market. Welcome back, Sterling. Nice to speak with you once again. Hope you had a good, Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff. So thank you for coming on again.
Thanks, Heinrich. I appreciate you having me on. And holiday was an extraordinary break and time for me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we all do need that now and then, that's for sure. Now, welcome into 2014, we should say then. And since we didn't speak to you at all in 2013, I thought we could, bring you on and actually talk about some of the most exciting developments that actually occurred during our last year, since we didn't touch base at all with that. So I guess to kind of start things off here in comparison, how was the last year, 2013, for you, Sterling? Was it, in following developments and everything else, is it a continuing ramping up of new things coming onto the scene and new things to keep an eye on, or is it pretty much kind of leveling out in some way?
Well, it's actually the opposite. I feel like things are accelerating and getting extremely exciting. From my vantage point, free energy has been, the world of free energy, it tends to be quite frustrating because you have all these exciting technologies that are percolating and getting closer and closer. And it seems like for the 11 and a half years that I've been immersed in this stuff that we've always been just a few months from market. It's like, when is something ever actually going to materialize?
Yeah.
And that gets a bit frustrating. And I think that's, to a certain extent, why, I've been a bit quiet in terms of wanting to get on your show, because I feel like I kind of have let people down to a certain extent about getting them excited about what's coming down, and yet it doesn't. And yet the general sentiment, the general sense is that things are progressing, and I actually was hoping to kind of tail off with that, but maybe we might want to jump into that very point at the beginning, is to address the question, why are things taking so long?
And oh, definitely. That's a good point. Go ahead.
So, from my vantage point, there's kind of been a spiritual sense that has come into this, and I've shifted my focus to a certain extent in my news away from the technology, not away from the technology, but away from just the technology to an understanding of, why is it that we don't have these things? And it had really come to a clarity to me that there has to be a spiritual awakening to a certain extent, that there's a prerequisite that humankind has to kind of chalk off before we get these things as a body, so to speak. And the way that I would approach that is that I think a case can be made pretty well that we get the government we deserve, that as a people, it's not just haphazard. We really can't do anything about the government we have because we kind of were born into the world that we get, and we just have to deal with it. But I really do believe that there is a almost a karmic relationship between our governments and us as a people.
Yeah.
And if you think about it on an individual level, it makes sense. It, you know, you sow wickedness, you reap captivity. You know, if you do bad habits and stuff, those habits will take over your life. And you become subjugated to your vices, so to speak.
Right.
And I think the same can be true collectively as well, that as we as society, as we become, if we sow wickedness, then we're going to reap captivity societally, and the word for that is tyranny. You know, captivity slash tyranny are synonyms, and so we can't just say, well, you know, we'll have to take what we get. We as a society really are the reason that we have the New World Order breathing down our neck and getting worse by the day, and the NSA peeking over our shoulder every second.
Yeah.
We really have brought this on ourselves as a society, and that the thing that needs to happen for us to turn that around, and this is one of the reasons why I have so much respect for the work that you and others are doing in your sectors. You have such a clarion voice about getting people to wake up and look at the solutions that are outside the box, to come to your senses that there really is a need to awaken. If you think about it, free energy really is all about freedom. If you've got a device in your house that powers your house, you don't have to pay the grid anymore. You have a device in your car that you don't have to stop for fuel, and once you buy the device, you know, your upfront capital costs are covered, and everything else after that is free.
Right.
You know, you can relate to that with solar panels. There's a big chunk that you have to plunk down, then after that, you don't have to worry about paying the grid. But solar's so expensive. What if you've got something that once if you can get it financed, for example, it's actually going to be cheaper than what you pay for from the grid? That's going to be pretty cool. And that really is free energy. When you don't have to plug in your devices anymore, because now you're pulling energy from the environment. That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about that is coming with free energy, and that really is freedom based. And so free energy really is a revolutionary, you know, next quantum leap forward. It's not just a matter of added, you know, an incremental added level of convenience. We're talking about a fundamental transformation of society, liberation of society. And so to go back to this whole premise about, you know, we get the government we deserve, we get the energy we deserve. And the same thing holds true to other sectors as well, you know, freedom or energy, not just energy, but also medicine, alternative healing modalities, education, politics, money, monetary systems. They follow the same principle. And when we have a transformation of society and enough of an awakening, then we'll deserve free energy, and you know, the floodgates can come wide open.
Yeah, it's a good point, Sterling. Let me put it this way as well, that it's not just going to be given to us. We have to not only develop it, we have to, you know, claim it. Someone is not going to do all the work for us and hand it over to us and say, here you go, you know, because out of the goodness of my heart. Sure, that would be nice if that would be the case, right? But there seems to be a connection between what we want and what we desire and what we aim to work for, and how hard we want to attain that, right? This is, unfortunately, despite the topic that we do talk about, although it is free energy isn't going to be free, is it? If you see what I'm getting at.
Right. There is that claiming. I like that word that you used. Kind of, we have to step into it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I really do think that that is a very important principle, and I think your audience is one that especially can appreciate that, as well as can be responsible for actuating it and helping us bring about that transformation that needs to happen on a fundamental heart level, soul level, that we can accomplish that and check off that prerequisite. And so, you know, the skeptics would just scoff at us and say, oh, yeah, you're just making excuses. The reason we don't have free energy is there is no such thing. And that absolutely is not the case. I am absolutely certain that there are a whole bunch of solutions, not just one waiting in the wings to come on stage when we're ready. And that's maybe even another a good analogy is, you know, if the audience is being noisy and restless and rambunctious and swinging from the chandeliers and unruly whatnot, you know, the performance isn't going to start. Of course, that's, I guess, somewhat of a bad analogy because, you know, when you talk about a play, there's usually a starting time, and if you're not starting on time, the audience has a right to get a little bit unruly. But in this case, I don't really see that as that aspect as being what's, you know, the reason things are not starting is because we've gone overtime and people are getting upset. I don't think that's a good analogy to play here. Because I do think that we have a destiny to fulfill here, and there's a timing aspect. Things are just falling, going forward as planned, so to speak, as far as the maturation cycle of society. I think the reason that I haven't seen this aspect until now is because maybe this is something that it's. I've seen it more as the reason we don't have free energy is because there hasn't been the support to get it out there. These fledgling inventors have been out there all along. I mean, for 100 years we've had Tesla types of experimenters out there working as hard as they can to bring these things forward. But after 11 and a half years of these things being just, you know, a few months from market, it has hit me as I asked the question, why don't we have these things yet, is that we don't deserve them yet. But
why is that? Maybe you can elaborate on that. Why do we not deserve them?
It goes back to we get the government we deserve. We get the energy we deserve. When we as a society, let's just hypothetically, what if we had these free energy devices now in this world,
right,
in this present circumstance?
Yep.
We'd be using them to spy on each other, to breathe down each other's necks, to send missiles and drop payload wherever we wanted to on the planet. We would be using them for bad rather than for good.
Weapons and energy beam weapons, all kinds of nastiness, right? So, yeah. Well, it's a very, I mean, this has come up a lot of times now when we've talked, for good reason too, because it is one of the big quagmires and one of the big questions within, kind of weaved into this whole topic, which is, you know, if it's true that some people have access to these technologies, then certainly they are not in the best hands that they could be. But at the same time, if it was freely distributed through, you know, among the masses out there, I don't think it would be generally used any wiser, actually, to be honest. And that's very unfortunate, of course, but I do think that that's part of the picture. So I think that you're right on that, Sterling.
Yeah. Well, getting that out from underneath us then, I mean, getting that, putting that point behind us, I would like to, you know, jump in to show just how exciting it is, what is, you know, waiting in the wings, so to speak, to use the stage analogy again.
Yeah.
Just all these things that are waiting off stage, it is really exciting. And I think getting that hope that we do have these solutions can do a number of things. Number one, it can introduce that element of hope more so than if we didn't know what was coming down the pike. Just knowing that these amazing technologies are coming, hope is really a powerful thing.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
And I also think that the people in your audience are the kind of people who can help bring these things to fruition so that when society does finally warrant these things generally, then they can get them in a very expedited way. I don't think that we're going to see the same. You know, you have Moore's law with the computers that every 9 months the speed doubles, the size goes in half, the cost is in, cut in half. That's kind of been what we've seen with the computer world. And we haven't seen the same Moore's law, so to speak, in energy as far as what we have available to us. It's been baby step stuff. And I think what's... you could argue that the same should have been happening all along in energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that it hasn't been is telling you that we have basically a reservoir, a dike build up, this dam that's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and this all this stuff is building and building and building, and when it comes out, it's going to be coming out almost like all at once. It's going to be this flood, this massive deluge of goodness that has been held back from us. It's not that it hasn't been there and it hasn't been building. It's that we haven't deserved it and it hasn't been emerging. And so I'm actually quite excited. It's going to be pretty interesting when this stuff really does start coming out. It may come out, the trickle that we see that first comes out may be like to the individuals. It could be to intentional communities, people who are kind of, you know, there may be a phased rollout. It may not be that everyone gets it all at once overnight kind of thing. But
right. But
I do think that it's going to be, we'll notice when this stuff finally starts emerging.
And do you think that this could be years off yet to come or less than that? Difficult to say, of course, but...
Well, man, you know, whereas before it used to be months away, now it's weeks away before we start seeing some of the stuff being available in the marketplace. That's my vantage point. I could be wrong. I've certainly been wrong before. I tend to be very impatient in my vantage point about how long things can take, will take. But the lineup right now, man, it's just getting pretty... you know, just around the corner is getting so much closer now than when it was last time we talked.
Well, that sounds great. Let's kind of head into it here a little bit, and then we'll, you know, look at some of the most exciting things that was going on from last year. So take it away, Sterling.
Okay. Well, the first one in our list is a company called Platinum Invest. And it's a group out of Spain. And still, a large number of these are over in your neck of the woods, over in Europe. Europe tends to be leading the way compared to the United States or elsewhere. And this one is a group that, led by Dr. Umberto Stranieri, and they have actually a brochure that I got a copy of not too long ago, where they're listing their products, little prices next to them. They're a little bit steep right now. The prices are a little high. I'm not sure if that's because they're taking advantage of being first or close to first, if they're not first. So like a 5-kilowatt system would be like 13,000 euros, which is, I think, very steep. I think it's compared to some of the other technologies that are going to be coming forward. The price point is going to be dropping, and so either they're going to have to be dropping their price or going to be made obsolete fairly quickly, or they're just taking advantage of being able to charge a lot at first and then plan on dropping it later. I'm not sure what their strategy or what their actual, you know, markup is going to be, but it's really nice looking brochure. I don't have permission yet to distribute it, but they have a university that signed off on their third-party testing that's been done. Looks really, I mean, they've got their brochure, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what is holding it back because we've had this for a couple of months now. We're hoping, they actually promised me to put one on my house, to power my house with.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So what is it more directly, if we can start describing it a little bit?
I don't know the internals, whether it's a motor generator system that we'll be talking about on this, the next in our top, you know, things that are closest, or if it's a magnet motor scenario where it's just magnets repelling magnets creating thrust to turn a generator, it looks like it's got, it may be actually a twist that it's a design they've come up with that does what these motor generator systems do, that so it's not really, it's not off the shelf, the stuff that they've developed from scratch, a new motor, magnets and electrical components. You've got coils in it. You look at their videos and it looks like something out of science fiction. It's really cool looking, nice eye candy appeal. There's another company that is similar to that, Quantum Magnetics is selling kits. These are available for sale. You can get these things now. Again, they're pretty pricey. They're still in the scientific R&D aspect, but they are available. They sold some 75 of these, a few thousand dollars to get something to tinker with and play to witness these new effects for yourself. They've built theirs from the ground up as well. So in that regard, I would consider these two companies quite similar, except one is producing kilowatts of power for powering a house all the way up to 100 kilowatts. I believe their brochure has a number of items and sizes available, outputs available. 5 kilowatts is just for, maybe the newcomers to your audience. If you take the average that your house uses, 1 kilowatt would run a house if you didn't have to worry about batteries and all that kind of stuff. And just, that's the average. That's how much if you leveled everything out total at the end of the month, and from the time you're asleep and the time you've got peak load when everything's running at once. My house here in Utah, I've got a family of 6. We use 1 kilowatt almost exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
So 5 kilowatt system, if you had grid tie, you could send the excess to the grid while you're not using it, and then pull from the grid when you, or having a battery array would be more than enough to run a house easily.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep. That's really good. The EMAG there, what was it? They alleged a 7.5 kilowatt output, I believe.
Yeah, that's. But like I said, the brochure lists about 6 different sizes, starting at 3 kilowatts up to 100 kilowatts.
Right, yeah.
And that's about €4 per kilowatt installed.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And the thing that's cool about them is, they look very professional. They've got really nice materials. The website looks nice. The presentation's great. And they do have, like I said, on their sales brochure, they list the name of the university where these things have been tested over in Belgium, I believe it is. That looks really close to me.
We're waiting for something at this point. Is it uncertain about what that is really?
Well, I know that they were planning on the first quarter of 2014 being fully geared up to be in full production. They are going to make some available early on to certain people, including myself, so that I would have one on my house as kind of a sales point saying, hey, I've got one running my house. The next one that I think could be really exciting, I call them Q-Mogens. That's the name I coined. The letter Q conveying the idea of self-loop with energy left over, that little tail of the Q signifying energy left over, and the O of the Q signifying self-looped, and then Mogen for motor generator, is this idea that you have a smaller motor turning a larger generator, which isn't supposed to be possible in the first place. And then the energy from the generator is enough to keep the motor turning. That's the self-loop part. And then because it's a larger generator than the motor that's turning it, you have excess left over. And at this point, there have been 40 different claims that I've become aware of around the world, 15 different nations, that where people have come up with the system, have posted videos on YouTube, and are in you know, showing their self-loop system. And the thing that's, if you think about this, a self-loop system that's being shown is not, there's only two options. It's either what it claims to be, or it's a fraud.
Right.
Because if self-loop has always had been the test, can you self-loop it? If you can self-loop it, then you got something. And if they're claiming that the self-looped, you know, they can't show the video for 9 hours to rule out batteries or hidden other things, and you know, you got to keep your video short. So they're basically you're dependent on relying on their word.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe that all 40 of these are frauds.
Have you visited any of these yourself the past year?
Not yet. I have tried in several cases. One of them, you go into the stories of these and they get quite interesting about, you know, I was scheduled to go in last August to go visit one of these over in Detroit. And we were going to have it on the Smart Scarecrow show live and everything. And then the guy is, you know, just about had it. He had to make this or that adjustment. And I actually had my plane ticket purchased. And when, shortly before I was supposed to take off, I realized that he didn't have the thing running. He'd shut it down for something or other. They just barely moved and he hadn't got it up and running yet since the move. He was just counting on that it was going to work, and then it's like, what? You don't have it running yet? Because he had it running before, supposedly. So I canceled my ticket, you know, took the hit of the $200 that they, you know, for cancellations. I'll be able to use the credit for another flight. And it turned out being, he may yet have something, but it was one excuse after another. And the guy was swearing and,
right,
you know, kind of rude. And so it was quite the drama that was going on there. And so that one has yet to be materialized in terms of having any kind of validation. It was the closest to being able to really show a really fancy system running. So, you know, that was one of the cases where the verdict's out and he moved to near the bottom of the list because of the credibility issues.
Sure.
I still have him there because I don't think that we can conclude that he's a fraud. Flaky at best, but he may yet have something. We'll see.
So there is a lot of this going on then, a lot of myths, if you will, but that's just how it is, right? You can't, if you have an open mind and want to investigate it all, that's just what's going to happen. And again, it doesn't disqualify everyone else just because there's a lot of that kind of people, you know, that are involved in this kind of work, right?
Yeah. We have one over in Romania and one in Russia that actually have pricing on their website for purchase, and you have buttons where you can click and make a purchase of one of these things, put down money, and we have yet to validate that these are actually, that people are actually getting the products that they buy. Hopefully those aren't frauds, because, you know, that would definitely fit into the ballpark of, not ballpark, it would fit into the classification of fraud and,
yeah,
actionable fraud, where they're taking money from people. And so, you know, there are two that are, could be, bona fide and in process of delivering product. We have yet to validate, but we did have somebody who went in and saw one of them in operation for an hour and said it's real. So, you know, we have a, you know, that step taken of somebody who's vouched for them. I think it goes back to this whole thing that we talked about earlier. And let me, one thing I didn't say in this, in describing these things, if you were to, you know, my description of the smaller motor power and the larger generator, the skeptic in the crowd is probably pulling his hair out and has probably left the show by now. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you actually, you take this serious and I'm going to spend time listening to you. Give me a break. It's because this sounds like the classical, lifting yourself up by your own bootstrap. Mm. But what's happening apparently is in the setup, there's some kind of a harmonic that goes on where the generator is being powered not just by the motor that's turning at a given speed, that it's happy at 3,600 RPMs, for example. Most generators, that's where they run. Apparently, there's somehow there's an electronic harmonic that gets set up. This is our understanding. And just to illustrate that, you know, in this harmonic that goes on, energy from the environment comes into play. You've got these thunderstorms that pass through town, and one thunderstorm has enough energy to power the United States for 2 days.
Wow.
There's a lot of energy up there.
Wow.
And, you know, if you could harness that, so there's this stuff that's floating in the air, so to speak, that shows up in a thunderstorm that is triggered by the environment that creates a thunderstorm and lightning and flashing and all that stuff that goes on. There's a lot of dissipation of energy. And same thing with like a hurricane that comes through. I can't remember what the numbers are, but it's crazy how much energy is involved in a hurricane. And so in environment has a lot of energy at its disposal if we could just learn how to plug into it. And apparently these devices do that.
Let me ask you this, and it might be a kind of a stupid question, but in that process, dissipation of energy, let's say from the thunder and lightning, or, you know, lightning primarily, and then we get a thunder as a consequence of that. But if we were to, let's say, absorb that or take that and then, you know, put that into accumulators or something like that, is it safe to assume that if we took that energy, that would have a side effect? In other words, that the dissipation of energy has a function, if you will, within our biosphere, and if we took that, for the lack of a better word, there would be a secondary consequence. Is there anything that, in your view, that the point in that direction, that it would be, we would do a mistake by getting involved in those kinds of things? Well, what do you think?
First of all, I love that question because I do think that is a fundamental question that we have to ask. Look at what we've done with our cell phones. You know, there are more cell phones than people on the planet now. And look at what they're doing to our health. They're frying our brains. They're, you know, the teenage and young people's brains are especially vulnerable to these things. And if you don't have some kind of way to cloak that, you want to be using a hands-free, you want to be, you know, getting those things away from your head. They're emitting radiation and receiving, receiving is not the issue as much as the radiation from one of those things.
Yeah.
We did not do the due diligence on that we should have as a society, and we really shouldn't be holding those. And we, ladies who are tucking those down in their bra, you just Google cancer and cell phones and bra, you'll see pictures of cancer in the shape of a cell phone.
Yeah. Jeez.
You know, it's pretty horrendous, and so we do need to be asking those kinds of questions of, well, what if we start harnessing this energy? Look at what happened with the oil industry and all the pollution that we did with that without taking into regard Mother Nature and our responsibility as stewards over the earth. So that's one answer, is that we definitely need to be asking that question with all of these devices. There, when we talk about free energy, I have a listing on our website of 25 genres of conventional free energy: solar, wind, geothermal, tide, wave, currents, ocean currents, waste to energy, biomass. There's 25 genres, separate genres of clean, conventional free energy. It doesn't give any college professor any problem. You can understand where the energy is coming from. It's copacetic. There are also 25 unconventional genres that academia has been saying is impossible, breaks the laws of physics, junk science, etc., cold fusion, magnet motors, zero-point energy, gravity motors, etc. And so each one of those genres needs to be analyzed for its effect on the human body, on the surrounding plant systems, on animals, on the environment, on the balance of nature. You know, what if we start harnessing all this energy? Are we going to be creating a deficit in some other unintended consequence way? We
yeah.
don't want to be doing that.
Exactly. Well, it's a very interesting question, I think, and I've begun to approach that particular topic with more careful, steps, if you will. I don't, because there's something to it. I mean, I don't think we are going to get something for nothing. If we take it from somewhere, it's going to be taken from somewhere, and that's going to alter the balance of things. And of course, we want to look for something that has the least, a lot of energy output, so to speak, so that we can, take a little bit of that without causing too much havoc. But if it's something to, I mean, again, who knows? Maybe there's a balance in the lightning storms that actually helps to regulate the planet in some way. And if we were successfully able to tap into that in some way, that might be a consequence of something that would build up and actually destroy in the long term the fabric of life as we know it on this planet. You never know.
And actually, there's a second answer to your question, is that I do honestly believe, from a, call it doctrinal point of view or a spiritual point of view, a karma point of view, that there is such a thing as free energy from a vantage point of detriment to the environment. That there are energy sources that are absolutely scot-free, no detriment whatsoever in the amount of energy that we're going to be requiring and using and harnessing. The environment is like, I'm more than happy to give this to you because we want you to have it. Mm. It's for you. It's for your taking. It's not going to be slowing down the rotation of the earth. It's not going to be, junking the oceans. It's not going to be having these unintended consequences. Let's go back to our metaphor at the beginning about, we get the energy we deserve. We get the governments we deserve.
Mm.
And as long as we deserve tyranny, that's what we're going to get. But when we go through a transformation, when we go through this metamorphosis that we're headed toward, that we're kind of in the middle of right now, as the New World Order powers are getting so obvious and so blatant in their display, like, how could people possibly not see how evil that is? And you look at Edward Snowden, and you look at the 9-1-1, those buildings falling. That was not from two planes crashing into them. They had help. Those buildings came down from something else, whether it was thermite or whether it was, some directed energy weapon. They had help coming down. To fall at free fall speed does not happen unless you have help.
Yeah.
And so, those of us who are open and are willing to look at all the ramifications of questions like this, we see it so blatant, it's so obvious. And so when, let's shift forward now. Let's say that we as a society have gone through the fundamental change. We have a new heart. We have this broken heart, contrite spirit. God comes in, fills us with his spirit, and we now are changed creatures, and we are ready for a new earth, a new world. We're going to get a new world. And, from a doctrinal, spiritual, karmic point of view, when we deserve free energy, I tell you, the universe is going to be more than happy with a grin on its face to give it to us.
Right, yeah. Well, one thing is for sure, and that is that there's a lot of energy out in the universe and what we can see and observe out there. And there are some, we might not want to go there right now, but there are some extraordinary other ideas floating around there, which seems to be, I want to kind of ask you about that though, because most of what we look at are on the smaller kind of scale where we have, smaller independent inventors or a group, a company, something like that, working together to develop a device more or less that is fairly small. But there are some of those you know, monumental ideas out there as well, like, you know, using the moon as a dynamo or using something that's vast in some way. Call it tapping into some kind of stellar, you know, nebula source field or something like that. But have you looked into any of those, like, bigger things that are going on right now as well?
Of that ilk, I would say, you know, without a specific example, I mentioned that we have 25 genres, and that's a lot. I wouldn't say that that's a definitive, exhaustive list. There's always going to be new things that people will be discovering. You know, putting we talked about mining asteroids, for example, where we can go up into space, grab the minerals and resources off these asteroids that are floating by, harness them, you know, bring them down into orbit, and bring the gold and the diamonds and the other resources that we need that are valuable for us. We have them in large quantity, high concentration on these asteroids. And you're saying energetically maybe there's something of that ilk, that maybe there's a way to harness these things using clever methods. Certainly new things will be discovered, will be explored. And I would much rather that we spend our resources on that than on watching silly programs like Miley Cyrus and yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, exactly. Who knows? I mean, obviously, I'm running way ahead of myself in terms of what we'll be able to do at this stage as the human race. We can certainly do some extraordinary, you know, engineering and stuff like that, but I'm talking about things that might be many, many hundred years down the line. Again, who knows how quickly things will develop, what we might be able to do with robotics, etc. But, you know, there are analogies we can make of what goes on here on the planet, like, you know, there are certain machines or those waves that absorbs the waves from in the oceans and everything and converts that to energy. Maybe there's something similar that could be done in space, you know, that taps into the, you know, the galactic, you know, radiations, the waves, if you will, and tapping into that in some way. There's, I mean, the possibility is, of course, endless, but it's the ideas and the concepts that have to be there first for us to be able to do something with it.
Yeah, my brother was talking about if you had a tether from space to Earth, from orbit, space, space orbit, down to the Earth, you would have a huge amount of energy that would be gleaned just from that cord going through the ionosphere, gigawatts of energy that could be available. And that's just an engineering issue of, you know, getting the nanotechnology and the cords and, you know, getting it up there and protecting it from planes. And, you know, there's some logistical questions about pulling that one off. But that certainly is another source of energy that could be harvested.
Well, exactly. Do you remember seeing that NASA video with the tether that was allegedly it actually even broke because of the charge was so high? I forget which STS mission it was, but that showed actually the amount of energy that was just contained in the upper atmosphere alone, and that actually caused that whole tether just to break in half, you know?
Huh. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I haven't seen that particular footage, but I certainly understand the concept.
Well, that's interesting. That could be something as well in terms of that. But if we are to get back to our lists here a little bit, Sterling, where are we here?
Yeah, I just want to bring up a couple more points on this QMOGEN before we move on from that one. Among the 40, one of them actually has a U.S. patent, the 7095126. This was awarded back in 2006. And the patent office doesn't have the reputation of patenting and approving things that are free energy devices. And this one has the classical wording. I'm very surprised that they awarded it, but apparently he talked to the right examiner and it didn't get on the right desk to be shut down. But it's actually poorly worded. There's some big problems. So it's fortunately unenforceable, I hope, because we don't want to have one guy who becomes a gatekeeper for the planet on this thing and you have to go through him. And I actually published an article pointing out the very serious weaknesses in the wording, where he says generator when he means motor and vice versa, and he uses from instead of form in a very key point of the provision of the claim, so that basically all the key components of the patent are disqualified from enforcement. So on the one hand, we have the patent that's been awarded, which is evidence that there's really something there because he had to produce something that was legitimate for them to sign off on it. I did interview the inventor, and that was quite interesting. Another one I wanted to bring up is there's a 350 kilowatt or KVA motor generator in India. That's huge. I mean, this is a big monster. It's like looking inside of a component of a power plant. These generators and motors stand as high as a human. And it was running in self-loop mode. That was pretty cool. There's also a couple of people who are talking about open sourcing their designs. And we're actually in process of receiving the information and posting it as we get it. And that's looking quite promising. So it could be a week away, could be a month away, or that we have a full set of plans that you can download and make one of these things using off-the-shelf components. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting ideas like that, even if we take it into consideration 3D printers and things that might, come along that we can do some pretty interesting stuff with. Now, before we carry on here, Sterling, and take a break here in a few minutes, let's see if there's something else from those things that we've talked about so far that you just kind of want to conclude on before we carry on. And then, of course, I want to talk a little more about your websites and everything. You do have quite a few out there. But, please go ahead and let us know if there's something about the ones we mentioned we should finish on before we move on.
I should just mention that there's one that's at the very top of the list that I can't talk about, that I know about, that I have evidence for, that I've got, the testing that's been done, I've got their data, but can't talk about it.
And that's that's been there since we last talked as well, by the way.
This is a new one that I've come aware of.
Okay. All right.
That one that we were talking about last time is still in development, is still looking promising, but still is in process of working through bugs and getting the money and all that kind of stuff. It's quite the rigmarole, yeah.
So that's interesting. And do you have any idea about when something more development-wise could open up on that one?
I don't. He's kind of cut me out of the loop on that one. I've got a couple of friends who are still in the loop that get some updates from once in a while. He doesn't want media attention right now, so he's kind of not giving me the updates that he used to.
All right. Okay. Well, why don't we give out some of the websites here as well, Sterling, because there are quite a few and there's a lot of different, versions depending on what people are after that they can get. So please, give us all the URLs and where people can go to follow this stuff.
Bottom line is freeenergynews.com will take you to our primary page, and everything's linked up there. That's a shortcut domain name that takes you to PezWiki, the homepage of PezWiki, which is the news and directory service. We have PESN, which is the stories that we compose that are kind of our exclusives. Then we have energynest.org, which is our incubation service to help bring these things forward. NewEnergyCongress.com or .org also, just kind of the screening, vetting, filtering service. But all these things are tied together. FreeEnergyNews.com is the easiest to remember, and you can find everything from there.
All right, very good. FreeEnergyNews.com, and we'll have all the other links up as well to the top five and everything else and the PESWiki.com. But we'll take a short break here, so stay with us, Sterling. We'll be right back.
Machine! Machine! Machine!
Stay with us for the second hour with Sterling Allen as we continue our conversation about the top three energy contenders and the bigger picture of how to get closer to what it is that so many people both want and are looking for. And we have some more interesting and promising inventors to discuss along the way as well. RedIceMembers.com is the members' website. Sign up and access all our programs in their entirety and all past shows going back to 2006. You can stream or download any of our programs. We also have them available through RSS feed, if you so please. We also have videos, films, and much more on the website, so please take a look. You don't have to be a member to check out our archives, so if you're interested, please do so. We have some upcoming guests on Red Ice Radio: James Hall, David Talbot, Walter Block, and Richard Dewhurst. And we also have some great Radio 314 shows coming up later with Carolyn Dean, Josie the Outlaw, Ben Shapiro, and many more, so don't miss those. Well, we'll proceed now then at redicemembers.com with Sterling Allen. We'll see you there. Thank you for listening.